You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Farmer sentiment declined in August as the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer dropped 10 points to a reading of 125. The decline, led by weaker expectations about the future, with the index of future expectations falling 16 points to 123. That's the lowest level in a year. Current conditions remaining steady with a reading of 129 versus a 127 reading in July. Crop producers did express notably more pessimism than livestock producers, reflecting the profitability gap between the sectors. USDA's August forecast for the 2025-2026 marketing year peg corn prices at $3.90 per bushel and soybeans at $10.10 per bushel, both well below break-even levels for many operations. Now, in contrast, beef cattle producers continue to benefit from record prices, supported by the smallest U.S. cattle inventory since 1951. Now, concerns about credit conditions also surfaced. 22% of farmers expect to take larger operating loans in 2026, nearly a quarter of those citing the need to roll over unpaid debt from 2025. That figure marks a significant increase compared to similar surveys, signaling rising financial stress among crop producers. U.S. oilseed processors increased soybean crushings in July, while canola results were a bit more even. According to USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, soybean crush totaled 6.14 million tons, equal to 205 million bushels. That was up from 197 million bushels in June and 193 million a year earlier. Higher crush yielding 2.43 billion pounds of crude soy oil, and that was up 4% from the previous month, 6% higher than last year. Production of once refined soybean oil reaching 1.83 billion pounds, slightly higher than the month before, but lower than last year. Stronger soybean crushing supports consistent demand for beans and bean oil, while canola processors continue to adjust to tighter supplies in variable markets. Well, machinery costs for 2025 have been released by FarmDoc, showing modest increases compared to the sharp jump seen 2 years ago. According to the University of Illinois and Ohio State University economist, most machinery cost categories are up between 1 and 14% since 2023, a much smaller climb than the 30% spikes reported in 2021 and 2023. For example, hourly cost of operating a 310-horsepower tractor rose 3% over 2 years, from $249.10 in 2023 to $255.80 in 2025. Rising list prices for machinery, which increased 7.5% for that tractor size, pushed overhead costs higher. However, lower diesel fuel prices helped offset part of the increase, dropping per hour fuel cost from $52.50 in 2023 to $44.80 in 2025. Labor costs rose slightly, now $24.20 per hour. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The Ag Economy Barometer Index fell 10 points to a reading of 125. The barometer has now fallen 33 points from its 2025 peak that was set back in May at 158.
Dr. Jim Mintert is Professor Emeritus at Purdue University with the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer for August.
Current condition index was virtually unchanged this month, rising just 2 points to 129. However, it is down 17 points from its 2025 peak of 146 that was set back in May. Future expectation index fell 16 points to 123, and the future expectation index is now down 41 points from its peak, also set back in May. The Farm Financial Performance Index was nearly unchanged, improving 1 point to a reading of 91, and this month's index reading was 20 points below its 2025 peak of 111 that was set back in January. The Farm Capital Investment Index rose 8 points to a reading of 61, was probably the biggest surprise on the report this month. This month's investment index reading matches the highest reading of 2025, which was set back in April. If you look at the change that took place, the bad time percentage reported by producers fell 5 points to a reading of 62 this month, while those saying it was a good time to make investments actually rose 3 points to 23%. And the rise in the investment index overall was supported by livestock operations' much more optimistic view of the future. Short-term farmland value expectation index reading of 112 was 3 points lower than a month earlier and was 12 points lower than its 2025 peak of 124, which was set back in May. For the second month in a row, we asked producers what their expectations are for cash runner rates on farmland in their area in 2026, and three-fourths of the crop producers in this month's survey said they expect cash runner rates to remain about the same in 2026 as they were in 2025, and just 12% of crop producers expect cash farmland rental rates to fall in 2026 compared to 2025. We continued to ask producers about their expectations for ag exports, and producers became more optimistic about future ag trade prospects in August. The percentage expecting exports to increase rose 9 points to 52%, while the percentage expecting exports to fall actually fell 3 points to 10% of producers in our survey. Overall, producers' trade outlook was the most optimistic reading of 2025, exceeding the previous peak that was set back in May. In a follow-up question, we asked producers how likely is it that new foreign export markets will open up to American ag goods, and some of the optimism regarding trade really appears to arise from an expectation that the U.S. will have more new export market opportunities open up. 68% of the respondents in this month's survey said they expect to see new markets open up. That's up from 64% last month. And in previous periods, when we asked this question back in 2020 and 2021, responses were much closer to about 60%. We asked a couple of questions this month regarding farm financial stress given the downturn that's taken place in the crop sector. And the first question was, compared to last year, do you expect the size of your farm's operating loan to be larger, smaller, or about the same as this year? And expectations for operating loan size were up somewhat from the last time we asked this question in January of 25, and even more so compared to January of 24. This month, it was 22% said they expected to have a larger operating loan. That was compared to 18% in January of 25 and 15% who felt that way in January of 24.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Want to reduce your cottonseed cost up to 75% without sacrificing yield or quality? Try BSD9X from Brownfield Seed and Delenning. BSD9X is extremely versatile and is right at home on any acre. Large seeded, tremendous early season vigor, and yields at the top of university trials. For only $125 a bag, boost your bottom line with BSD9X from Brownfield Seed and Delenning. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Now, we get along with India very well, but India has, you have to understand, for many years, it was a one-sided relationship. Only now, since I came along, and because of the power that we have with tariffs, India was charging us tremendous tariffs, about the highest in the world. They were about the highest in the world, number one.
Speaking from the Oval Office on Tuesday, President Donald Trump on the heels of an appeals court ruling against tariffs.
We therefore weren't doing much business with India, but they were doing business with us because we weren't charging them. Foolishly, we weren't charging them. So they would send in massive, you know, everything they made, they'd send it in, pour it into our country. Therefore, it wouldn't be made here, you know, which is a negative. But we would not send in anything because they were charging us 100% tariffs. And, you know, I'll give you an example. Harley Davidson couldn't sell into India. There was a 200% tariff on a motorcycle. So what happens? Harley Davidson went to India and built a motorcycle plant. And now they don't have to pay tariffs. Same thing as us. So what we're doing is literally thousands of companies are coming into the U.S., car companies, AI, but, you know, more traditionally car companies. We have so many car company factories under construction or being designed right now. And they're coming from China. They're coming from Mexico, I must tell you. And they're coming from Canada. A lot of them coming from Canada. But they're coming into our country because they want to build here. And they want to build here for two reasons. Number one, they'd like to be here. And number two, the tariffs are protecting them. And number three, they want to avoid paying tariffs. When they build their cars here, they don't have any tariffs to pay. You know, when you build here, you don't have any tariffs.
But what about those who are looking at the economy? Trump says,
well, we need a little help from the Fed. We have a man named Jerome Too Late Powell. You probably heard of him. He's too late. He's way too late. And the economy is so strong that it's pushing through that. Normally, it would have been much tougher, but we're doing so well that we're pushing through it. But it makes it very hard for people to get mortgages because too late is too late. Very simple. He's too late. And probably political, whatever. He wasn't too late before the election. Before the election, he was cutting rates, right? Because he was hoping that, I guess, Biden would get in or that Kamala would. He was a big Biden guy. Explain that one. And then he was a Kamala person. But he was hoping, I guess, she'd win, I guess. I don't know. It didn't work out too well. But, yeah, we need a very serious cut. You know, I think that if you look back many decades ago, the United States was always the lowest. Even if they were doing badly, the United States was, because without the United States, everything in the world would die. It's true. It's so powerful. It's so big. And I made it really big in the first 4 years. Then it started to degenerate with what this Biden administration did, but we built it up to a level that I never thought we could be at this quickly. We're the hottest, we're the best financially. The money coming in is so big because of tariffs and other things, but because of tariffs. Tariff gets us even those other things. Plus, it gets us great negotiation. I settled 7 wars, and numerous of those wars were because of trade, and numerous of the trade deals that I made were because of tariffs. It gives you a great negotiating ability. If that ability were taken away from us by a liberal court acting on essentially foreign nations asking to get help from the United States government, when they've been doing this to us for 40 years, that's why we have $38 trillion in debt. We won't have it for long if they let us, if they allow us to do what everybody knows we should be able to do.
And this is Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We actually got one of the Obama judges that was appointed by President Obama voted in favor of the tariffs because he felt it was imperative for our country to thrive and survive even. And I gave him credit. I said, you know what? That took a lot of courage for him to do it because you don't see that often.
President Donald Trump from the White House Oval Office on Tuesday reacting after a court ruled against tariffs.
We're going to be going to the Supreme Court, we think, tomorrow, because we need an early decision. I mean, look, the financial fabric of our country, we're a rich, incredible country right now, and we're able to, you know, other countries use tariffs on us for years, and we never did. I did a lot during my first term, but then we had COVID, and we had to focus on other things. You couldn't be tariffing Italy, Spain, France, as they were dying by the thousands and millions. But we did with China, and China paid us billions and billions of dollars. And I started the process, but then I had to end it a little bit because of COVID. We focused on that. But it's a very important decision. And frankly, if they make the wrong decision, it would be a devastation for our country. We've taken in trillions of dollars. And by the way, all these countries signed agreements. As an example, they signed. They're all happy. Everybody's happy. But some whack job put in a lawsuit. It went before a very liberal court, and the liberal court ruled, it was 11, they ruled 7-4, with one of the most liberal of them all voting in our favor because they're patriots. I think I give tremendous credit to that judge, and now it's going to the Supreme Court. Now, we're going to be asking for early admittance. We're going tomorrow, and we're going to ask for an expedited ruling because when you look at the stock markets down today, the stock market's down because of that, because the stock market needs the tariffs. They want the tariffs. If you look at AI, all of those, all of that money that's going to be invested, trillions and trillions of dollars, the biggest thing, bigger than the internet, I suspect. It's the internet plus three or four other things combined. We are leading very substantially with AI. We're leading because of tariffs. We're leading because of talent, and this is where they'd like to be. But without the tariffs, we wouldn't have a chance because we wouldn't be able to protect those investments of the companies coming in. So if you took away tariffs, we could end up being a third world country. That's how big the ruling. So we're asking for an expedited ruling.
One reporter asking, why not just do it through Congress?
If we had 60 senators, if we got the 60 votes, we would get them. But we need 60 votes, and we need, a certain number in the House. I don't know, we have about five of them here. Would everybody agree with me on tariffs? Without tariffs, we're a different country. We have taken in so much money. And here's the thing. We signed a deal with Japan. They're paying us hundreds of billions of dollars. We signed a deal with South Korea. We signed a deal with the European Union. We signed a deal with Europe. And those countries are paying us $950 billion, and they're happy about it. They're okay. As one of them said, it's amazing that we got away with it so long. One of my friends, a leader of one of the countries, and they're fine with it. They all signed. If that ruling ever went against us, I guess we'd have to give back hundreds of billions. We would have to give trillions and trillions of dollars back to countries that have been ripping us off for the last 35 years. And I can't imagine it happening on a legal basis. They have no legal basis whatsoever. But on a common sense basis, it would destroy America.
It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Soybean demand has changed with the boom in U.S. renewable diesel production. How has the soybean industry responded?
Joe Jansen is a University of Illinois ag economist.
When you crush a 60-pound bushel of soybeans, the standard board calculation assumes you get 11 pounds of soybean oil, 44 pounds of 48% protein soybean meal, 4 pounds of hulls, and 1 pound of waste. But we looked at the data, and they tell a slightly different story. Those proportions aren't as fixed as one might think, and the difference is reshaping the nature of soybean demand. To understand how, we broke down soybean crushing output using annual data from the USDA for the past 60 years. Let's start with our key finding. Waste rates in soybean processing have declined by 44% since the 1960s. We're talking about going from 2.7% waste down to just 1.5% today. Essentially, the industry figured out how to extract a percentage point more value out of every single soybean. This might seem small, but when you're processing billions of bushels, these small improvements add up to significant gains. But here's the important part. While waste was going down, soybean oil extraction rates were going up. Not only were crushers wringing more output out of each bushel, but the composition of that output was changing. Back in the mid-1960s, a typical bushel yielded at about 18% oil. Today, it's nearly 20%. That means each bushel of soybeans produces about 10% more oil than it did 60 years ago. Importantly, the gains in oil output were larger than the decline in waste, so the composition of the crush was changing. Now, why does this matter? Enter the renewable diesel boom. Starting around 2020, demand for soybean oil as a biofuel feedstock exploded. If you're a soybean processor, you would have liked to dial up oil production while leaving meal production fixed. Here's the problem. If soybeans come in fixed packages, you can't make more oil without making more meal. Kind of like buying a combo meal. You get the fries whether you want them or not. So, when renewable diesel created a massive new demand for oil, processing more beans in response would mean the market got more soybean meal as well. It's a byproduct. However, we found something notable in the data. Since 2020, right when renewable diesel took off, soybean oil extraction rates have been consistently above their 60-year trend line. This suggests the market is adapting in real time. The changes aren't huge. Changing the composition of the crush is like turning an ocean liner. It doesn't occur instantaneously. But there is some evidence of a response. One interesting part of long-run changes in oilseed crushing is that they aren't just happening in the United States. So it isn't clear that all of the observed changes are related to the renewable diesel boom. Argentina saw similar improvements in oil extraction rates, growing even faster as they caught up to American efficiency levels. Canada's doing it with canola oil too, though they've hit some challenges recently due to extreme weather affecting crop quality. So, what does this all mean? First, those standard industry calculations about crush ratios, the one that assume exactly 18.3% oil content, might need updating. It seems that the soybean industry might have a little bit more flexibility than the standard board crush margin suggests. When market conditions change, processors can adapt by tweaking extraction and improving efficiency. It's not instantaneous and it's not unlimited, but it is happening. Last, this has implications for farmers, food prices, and fuel markets. When processors can squeeze more oil out of the same amount of soybeans, it changes the economic equation. In future analysis, the FarmDoc team will explore these market impacts.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Our topic this week is, what is the current value of a good quality replacement bred heifer?
Dr. Mark Johnson is an Oklahoma State beef breeding specialist.
It's interesting, if we look at market reports, we're seeing a little bit of sign of heifer retention. It's not overly aggressive, but we're starting to see signs of it. Cattle Facts recently published an article that talks about how many calves it takes to return our investment on a bred heifer right now. And one of the interesting things that comes out of that is, in a robust market like we're currently in, it actually takes fewer calves. Cattle Facts predicts that to be about 2 3/4 calves, meaning if we had a bred heifer right now, by the time she's raising her third calf, she's going to break into profit mode for us. That is noteworthy. That's below the long-term average of about 4.5 calves, and significantly lower than what we were seeing back after 2015. The interesting part of this, as we think about the development of replacement heifers, the opportunity cost on a heifer calf we could be selling right now, the amount of time it takes her to get into production, purchasing bred females or bred heifers right now may be the time to do it. The other part of this equation that's important to take into account is, what is our annual cost of running a cow? Because it's not the gross value of those calves that those replacement heifers are going to be having for us, and that does look to continue to be good for the next several years, but we've got to think about the net value, or our profit each year from that calf that we're actually selling. And a great deal of that is going to depend on our annual cost of running a cow. In looking over some data, we see that USDA reported in 2018 that in larger operations of over 500 cows, our annual cost of running a cow is just a little over $900. If we get into smaller operations of less than 50 cows, that can be as high as over $2,000 a year. There's wildly variable amounts that we can spend in maintaining a cow each year. What's interesting is that our feed and our pasture is only a part of that, typically half or a little bit less. We have got fuel, fertilizer, labor cost, depreciation on assets, a lot of other things that go into that annual cost of running a cow. The Kansas Farm Management Association in 2024 reports that about the average is about $1,551 a year that we spend just maintaining a cow in production. Again, not quite half of that is just the feed and pasture itself. That's an excellent set of data to look at as far as what some of those other costs are. But the point is, if we're considering taking on inventory right now and what we should invest in a bred heifer and what kind of value she has to us, the number of calves it takes for her to break into profit mode is going to be based by and large on our annual cost of running a cow. And that needs to enter into that consideration.
Zach Tindall is vice president of Producers Livestock.
Well, as far as cattle supply, feeder cattle supply for feed yards, it's pretty important right now when you look at the U.S. and some of the tightest cattle supplies we've ever seen, and feeder cattle availability at an all-time low. So I think last year, even with the border being shut for just over a month, I think we imported like 1.2 million head or somewhere right around there into the U.S. out of Mexico. So obviously we get a lot of feeder cattle from that, and I mean, at the end of the day, that translates into pounds and slaughter and everything else. So we're seeing it a lot in cattle on feed reports, mainly in Texas. The cattle on feed numbers are down sharply compared to where they were a year ago, and that's just because they've lost part of their supply and of the feeder cattle.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.